Let's turn in God's Word to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. So read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. First Corinthians 12, and we'll begin in verse 1. These are God's words. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say, Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of the healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Those are God's words. Now we come to consider in the church the service that each one in the church, each member of the body of Christ, is to serve. And considering several spiritual gifts, those gifts the Lord, by the same Spirit, as it was emphasized in the passage, the same Spirit gives to His people, His bride. There is not some people over here who have some gifts and another over here who have another gift, and they're given by two different gods or anything like that. That's not what's happening, of course, because there's one God, here the one Spirit of God who gives those gifts. Through verse 11, there are a variety of gifts and graces, like we've heard in Romans, end of Romans chapter 12, we heard, and we learned even there about the unity of the body there. It's the same, he's saying, the same author, Paul, he's saying the same thing here. That there are different measures of grace given to each one in the body. And so differing gifts, as it says here in Corinthians. And all of it is given for one purpose, to advance the church of Jesus Christ, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ in the world, and thus bring glory to His name. And so we ought to be warned not to think that this one gift over here is ours and not the others. When there is work and service in the church, and we're able to serve in that place where service is needed, then we ought not to think, well, we can't do that because we don't have that gift. No, we go and we serve. And the Lord will provide the grace needed and give you a grace according to the measure that He gives it in that particular area. Or He will remove you from that area and put in that place another. And the elders will guide you in that, right? The elders will come and say, no, this is not where you ought to be. This is where others may serve. They may serve by God's grace better. You might be better serving, best served over here, where you, according to God's grace that He's given. Then to verse 26, we're given the illustration of the human body that should make sense to all of us, showing the unity of the body. The body's one, right? Our own body is one body. Even if the ear says, we don't need the feet, doesn't matter, still part of the body, right? And that's where he goes to every part needs all the other parts. And all the parts together form one body, Jesus Christ being the head. And so there is not one that's not needed, every part, every member, each one of us is needed in the body. And you're important to the work of the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. And this we ought to remember in verse 26. It says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And we ought to consider that in our comforting and lifting up others and the joy we take when others are blessed. When others receive God's grace, we ought to rejoice in the Lord and not be upset, jealous. We ought to give praise to the Lord. And then through verse 30, how we are all variously gifted for the benefit of all in the body. And then the last verse, to earnestly pursue the best gifts, the best graces. Ask the Lord for them if it would be His will, right? But not to quarrel and contend about them, but to pursue them. There must be unity in the body. And so we don't quarrel and contend with one another in that way, but rather we all pursue them. And as the next chapter is going to say, we all pursue them in love for one another. So there's unity in the body. Friends, remember our calling, that we are all to serve, all for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, His church. For some of you, that might look like staying at home with your children and raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord for a good many years. And you can spend your time teaching them and prayer and things like that, so that then they come and they hear the gospel here and they're ready to hear, right? And then they, at some point, Lord willing, believe. Examples could be given in various examples to all of us. But there are many gifts. And so by God's grace, serve Him in those varying gifts that you might have. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the love with which You have shown to us in Christ, Your Son, that we might have such a love not only for you, which is the greatest love we can have towards another, for it is you, but also that love that we ought to have towards our neighbor and towards especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the church. We're thankful for your bride. We're thankful for the bride that you've brought about so that though in many different circumstances of life, if we didn't have the church, we never worshiped together, we would never be together. And yet because of Christ your Son, and because of your grace that you've poured out upon us by your Spirit in our hearts, we are joined together in this one body of Christ, the bride of Christ, in which we come together to worship you and exalt your name and serve you, to serve your kingdom. And Father, we admit today that we are weak, we're frail. When we think of service and serving your church, serving in the kingdom, and of course we could go into greater detail of this passage, but as we think of serving in your kingdom, we can easily see that we are not good enough. That there's no way that anything of any merit would come to you. And that's true. There's no merit that we can bring to you. And yet, Father, you say that we are the instruments. We are the instruments. We're going to hear this evening from Romans and Nahum that we are, in part, some of us are the instruments used to preach the gospel, to bring the good tidings of the good news of Jesus Christ. There are some here who are strengthened by you, by your grace, to be earnest and always or continuously in prayer, a lot of prayer. Whereas there's many of us who don't pray enough, not even close. Not even a little. And Father, forgive us of those things. But we're thankful for those who do pray and pray earnestly and continuously. We're thankful for the grace that you've given to them to do that. And we pray that we would have that grace. All of us would have that grace. Father, we're thankful for the faith you've given us. Though we acknowledge there are some in the church today that have greater faith than others. And we're thankful for your grace in that and pouring it upon them that they would encourage us. And that we could have greater faith, we pray for. Father, we're thankful for those who have grown in wisdom by your word and in accordance with what they've learned in the world, that they could be an encouragement concerning bodies and physical needs that we have, and we can reach out to often and ask for counsel, whether doctors or even in our own congregation, many of the ladies here know a lot about our bodies. We're thankful for their studies and how they've studied and can help us. And thankful for the grace you've given to them. Thankful for the men who diligently work as well and who provide for their families and give to the church. And thankful that you're a God who provides for us. And we ask that you would continue working in these many graces and how you have blessed us by your Spirit, that you would advance your kingdom, not only that you would grow the church in number, but truly that sinners would be converted unto Christ. And so that there's a lot more sheep than goats as we go forward and as your kingdom increases. Though we know that the sheep are mixed in with the goats, or the goats are mixed in with the sheep and will be sifted out at the last day or over time. Father, we're thankful for your kingdom. We're thankful for Christ who is our King. And who reigns and rules over not only the church, but over all nations. And we pray for our nation. I ask for your help. And that we can see the great wickedness happening in our nation. How they've turned from you, even from the very beginning, they've turned from you. And we plead now that you would cause them, if it would be your will, to covenant, that they would covenant, our nation would covenant with Christ your Son, commit their way to you, and not to their entertainments and pleasures and their own hedonism, which they look for in every space through money and fleshly gratification and the lust of the flesh. Father, turn us from that way and every evil way. Turn us from the evil ways of murder and abortion and euthanasia and even gluttony that leads to bad health and things like these, Father. And lead us into a wise path after Christ. Father, lead us away from the sins of adultery and fornication and the great atrocities and heinous sins of homosexuality and all the things we're seeing just paraded about all the more every day, more and more, before the peoples, before children, the heinous crimes, before your judgment seat, Father, as you're the holy judge of all. And Father, we pray for, as we've learned, we even sang this morning, Psalm 2, that all nations would come unto you, the kings would bow the knee, and Christ would be praised as their king. And so save our rulers and turn them to yourself, that they would be blessed, that so too we would be blessed. Our Father, we do praise you. We're thankful as we think of Emily. Emily had her car broken into this past week, and some unstable lady knocking on her house, waking her up in the middle of the night as well. Father, we're thankful that no harm came to Emily. Thankful that the property destruction of the window of her car and the door is not her, and that she was not harmed, and that those things can be replaced. We pray that the insurance company would come through on that and fix that soon, especially since it's cold out. And Father, pray that it would be done this week, if that would be your will. We also ask that you would be with the gardeners. Well, we go back to Emily. Father, we pray that you would help her not to fret or be scared, but that you would cause her to trust in you. We pray for the gardeners as well. We pray and ask for your help to them, that you would turn their hearts back to you, that they would repent of their sins of running after and fleeing Jesus Christ and turning to false teachings in Roman Catholicism. Father, we pray that they would see and feel the weight of the shame of those censures of being suspended from the sacraments. They would feel that weight and shame, and they would turn back to you, lest they continue in that path and be cut off completely from the Church of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would grant them true saving faith and repentance unto life. Father, that's our only hope, that you would change their hearts. It seems every person who has spoken to them, all the wise words and the counsel from the Scriptures and calling them to believe and repent, those all fallen on deaf ears. And so, Father, as they have treated all of this much like a game, something to be won, as an argument or something, Father, we pray that you would give the give them an understanding of the weightiness that they are dealing with as before the God of all heaven and earth, and even what we'll hear this evening concerning who you are, that you're a jealous God and you desire the purity of your worship and your name alone to be our God, and that we would seek after you alone. Father, we pray again for our congregation, that you'd provide a place to rent for us very cheap in the coming months, very soon, that we would know where we're going, if that would be your will. provide for us this year, this even each month. Father, you would provide and help us to be godly givers, that we would not steal from you, but that we would, because worship is so important to us, that we would support it to the best of our abilities by your grace again. And we're thankful again for your grace in Christ your Son. Thankful for our children. Give them faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.